Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I'm getting a little bored being the screamy guy.
All right, it's Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is off on dog duty today. Yes, that's right, dog duty. He has an adorable young beagle who requires constant supervision, and at this particular moment in time, that's what he's doing. So I'm here on the podcast with friends from Apollo 66, Travis Hodges and Alex Morris. Hey guys.
Hey Jim.
Hey, good morning Jim.
So we saw you at the most recent Suburbs Fest 2022 up there in Silver Spring, and that's where you guys live, right? Silver Spring area.
That's right. Yeah. Just outside the Beltway.
Right. Up there. Yeah. In up there.
I'm perhaps a little too close to the Beltway.
To me, up there in Maryland. I'm down here in Virginia.
Yeah, exactly.
But all in the same, we're all in the same metro area of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're still in Union territory up here.
That's right.
And we're holding on.
So we so appreciate that you have us include us with the monthly show that you have Saturday nights there at the American Legion, and so we were able to sort of stage our fest in conjunction with that and have other bands play, and we get to hear Apollo 66 play, and you guys are so great live. But I wanted to focus on today's episode, and we'll have you on tomorrow as well. I want to focus on some new recording that you guys have done. So tell us first, for listeners who are not familiar with Apollo 66, although you guys have been on the show before, and I would encourage people to go back and listen to those episodes, but give us a brief synopsis of the band, what the band is all about, and then tell us about this little bit about this new record, and then we'll go specifically into individual tracks, okay?
Having fun and drinking beer for the most part.
Exactly. Getting out of the house on Thursday nights to practice.
Yeah. Prioritizing having fun, I think that's the main thing.
We just happened to all live in the same neighborhood, moved here about the same time, about 10 or 11 years ago, and just kind of met each other around the neighborhood and probably figured out from the t-shirts that we were wearing that we had similar tastes in music and started asking, oh, do you play guitar? I could play bass. I know a guy who plays drums. And we just kind of gelled together like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our music kind of took shape from the first show that we ever played with the Ubangis, who we just loved to death. Really great, kind of like this crampsy, you know, rockabilly style. And so we kind of wrote our first set of batch of songs to just fit that one gig before we knew we were a band, really. And then it just kind of took off from there, and you know, our sound kind of solidified from there. And I think now we're kind of, we're growing.
We're growing a bit. we were described by somebody at Suburbs Fest at the show at the Legion. I guess this was last year. Described as a mix of the Cramps meets Black Sabbath, which I kind of appreciated.
Oh, yeah. I heard a little Jack White in there. I think Jack White.
Yeah,
was
right. Maybe so.
Well, for sure. And I want to get to that when we get to some specific tracks here. But what do you mean by growing, Travis? Was there something in particular you meant by that?
Yeah. Well, I think. Personally, I was just telling Alex yesterday, I'm getting a little bored being the screamy guy. Like, I have other feelings. So sometimes I just have sad feelings, not just angry feelings. Which is to say, you know, most of my song material is about feelings. I think, you know, we kind of have like a thing that we do together. I bring my own kind of intensity. It's that kind of marriage of punk rock and rockabilly with some surf, and so I think maybe we're starting to just explore more. I don't know, what would you say, like just artistically, like more complex songs, not more complex songs, more competent songs, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I suppose everybody goes through this where, as much as you might want to resist it, you have a bit of a formula, and then when you've done a bunch of things within that formula, and you try to do yet another one, and it kind of sounds a lot like another couple that you've already done, and you think, oh, maybe we should stretch a little bit so we don't keep playing the same song over and over again. I'm feeling that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and so, and one thing I know I'll get inspired by like a new sound. I mean, it could even be just like, I got a new guitar a while back and it had a whammy bar or on it. And just that alone just inspired like the Surf and Turf song. Like I had this new guitar and I'm like, oh, and it just kind of came together. Like Alex had this bass line and then, you know, and that sound. And so this EP, like I primarily focused on using fuzz on my guitar instead of like that slapback echo that I use on most things. And it really just kind of fit what we were doing at that moment.
Yes.
I think, you know?
So this is interesting to me. And again, we'll hear a song here in a moment, but I was noticing on this latest EP, it felt to me like a little bit more 60s ish than, you know, 50s ish, right? So a little more kind of nuggets, garage rock, psychedelia kind of thing going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. All right. Good. So we're on the same page here. Let me see here. Why don't we play for listeners some of the first track? Your new EP is called "We Could Be Gone," and that it kicks off with the title track. All right, there we go. We Could Be Gone. Tell us how that song came together.
I had that verse part in my head. I was driving. I was listening to the Spits, and that was my attempt to write a Spits song. What happens, though, often is, I want to write a Spits song, or I want to write a Cramp song or Motorhead song, whatever it is. And what's really fun about doing this is that I'll bring whatever I've got to Travis and he bends it a completely unexpected way. I hope I do the same for you.
Like, oh, totally.
And so that's what's fun about all this. So that was intended to be a spit song. I don't know if it's still too close to a spit song, but that's, you know, it turned into something a little more melodic, I guess.
Well, yeah. And the way the singing is too, it's not that monotone.
Right. Like, right.
So that song, and all these songs kind of have that where, and generally if Alex is singing lead, he's the one that brought, you know, that
the first bit.
Initial skeleton.
Okay. So it's like a Lennon McCartney thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And if I'm singing lead, generally I brought that skeleton and then we, you know, and we'll like if he has that skeleton, I'll write the bridge for it or like the lick, you know, and then kind of help piece it together, you know, and then do like backup melodies and then vice versa on songs. And that's another thing too. I think talking about being more competent too, not wanting to be the screamy guy all the time. So like Alex has just a really great sense of harmony and, you know, and constantly like thinking like that. So it pushes me to not be the screamy guy sometimes, to do backup and, you know, and sing. And what's hard is that when he's singing a certain melody, I'll want to sing the exact same thing. And I have to remember, I'm like, no, I'm supposed to go high or I'm supposed to go low, you know? So it's hard to like ignore him at the same time and sing my own thing, if that makes any sense.
I love the, like you said, the Lennon McCartney thing, not comparing ourselves to those guys, but
go ahead. Go ahead. They won't hear this. It's okay.
I was reading a book that you gave me, this kind of book on the Beatles, and talking about how they would trade the middle eight, and then there's the famous story about how McCartney had getting better all the time, and of course John Lennon had the couldn't get much worse line that he balances it with, right. And that's just been in my head whenever we're cooperating, which, you know, it's like I said, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration lyrically here? This time tomorrow, we could be gone.
I guess the idea was kind of escaping, just kind of drop everything and hit the road and kind of start over. I mean, nothing too profound, but, you know, just when things are a little stressful, the fantasy of just skipping town, yeah. I guess, was appealing to me at the moment.
And see, I have to say, what I love about that is, you know, my interpretation of his lyrics on that is like, no, it's the apocalypse and we're all going to die tomorrow. And, you know, and it's like,
that's right.
Enjoy it right now, because this time tomorrow, we could all be gone. It could all be over.
So an older song of ours, where you're talking about See You in Hell and all that, you only just pointed out to me that it's like an environmental song, which I had no clue about. I thought it was more of a kind of a cramp See You in Hell. I didn't realize it was an environmental catastrophe.
It's just like, we're doomed because we're not going to do anything. You know?
That's interesting. Yeah, because initially you think on that song, prior song, you think that's like an insult to somebody or something like that, right?
But, right, exactly.
But there's a bigger meaning here. So you got to, you know, really let it seep in, people's. All right. No, that's interesting too. That on We Could Be Gone, because initially I was thinking of it kind of, I think, like you were saying, Alex, like we being like the, like personally the singer of the song, like we could just, you know, take off and, you know, see you later. I'm sick of this, right? But in a bigger meaning, a bigger universal meaning, right? We could be gone. You know, wow, that's scary stuff, right? So yeah,
I think we should, you know, come clean. We tried to write that for a car commercial and no one's quite picked up on it yet. You know,
not yet.
I don't know. So, but I guess we haven't submitted to any.
Where did you guys record this, or what was the recording process like?
At the house, at my house where we practice, we have everything there. And we've talked about,
it sounds great.
We talked about the studio and like paying somebody to go into a studio to record. And I don't know, it's just, music is so cheap now, and that like everybody streams it for free, and it's just, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, what's the point other than just as like a vanity project, you know? If you have money to spend on it and it's something that genuinely gives you happiness, then absolutely. I don't think that we're purists at all. Like, that's definitely not us. We prioritize having fun and, you know, having a good time with other people. And you know, just enjoying ourselves. And so we're really comfortable at, you know, the practice space. So we've, we have it set up. We did a live recording for that, Brooklyn radio station a while back. So we just kind of take advantage of what we have there, you know, and do like direct input, that kind of stuff, you know, which isolates things.
Do you bring in anyone to help you, or you guys do it totally on your own? Recording
totally on our own.
Wow.
On our own.
That's amazing.
He's got a nice spooky little area in his basement under the front steps that's all concrete, and it's got a really nice kind of reverb sound when you record vocals in there.
Nice. And a little nice like dank, you know, moldy smell to it.
Exactly.
and this is a digital release only, right?
Digital only. And I think it was, you know, releasing it was, you know, it was kind of in between, like, you know, Sean departing, Jeremy arriving.
So you had a, you had a change, like, in drummers there. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we're just like sitting on music we've written and not putting anything. Cause like we have a ton of songs we haven't put out at all. And then, you know, but we have, we've put out a lot like live recordings that we've done. But then I think we also just get bored and we like, we don't want to, you know, sit down and record them properly. We'd rather just write new music.
Yeah.
You know? I'd like to record the old ones though too. At least get them kind of on the record.
All right. We got to talk about this more.
So people can find the EP on Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's on Bandcamp. We haven't uploaded to Spotify or anything yet, but yeah, we need to do
that's
that.
That's okay.
We'll do that as well.
We love to send people to Bandcamp. That's our favorite place. So go to Bandcamp, find Apollo 66, and then check out this new EP, We Could Be Gone, and you can stream it there. You can purchase it there, that sort of thing, right? Okay. Now, one last thing on that song. The other thing I wanted to ask about was you do a really great job with, like, with the band sort of, you know, with everybody sort of dropping out, right? Like you create this kind of wall of sound, and then you have these break moments where you just hear guitar or that sort of thing, right? So I guess the question would be, when you are putting together a song, is that something that just kind of develops as you're kind of working it? And do you think that's important, or what do you think is the importance of that to the listener, I guess?
You know, those tend to come up when we're all together, you know, so at least for me, I didn't include those breaks and other stuff that we've done that have breaks in them. I haven't included when they were something that I brought to the group. Mm-hmm. And the breaks tend to evolve once we're all together trying to kind of run through it and think about it together. Those often come up as kind of a, like, we all kind of think, hey, this should be a place where we stop or something. Those tend to be group decisions, it seems.
But I remember being intentional about it with that song,
this one,
with a couple of the breaks of, like, you know, in the moment when we're practicing it and just being like, I wanted to, like, punch you in the face right here. And that dropping out does that, you know, and that little lick at the, you know, the kind of scale lick at the beginning where it drops out, and it's just the guitar and we all come back in. It just makes it hit that much harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Those things become obvious once we're all together trying to play it. And then, and again, that's what's great about kind of cooperating with other people and being like-minded enough, but obviously having just enough of a different perspective that, all of a sudden it just seems clear this direction, you know, we should take this direction after we've all kind of been thinking about it and experiencing the song together.
And actually, I remember you were talking about the Spits earlier, and I remember we were listening to Fiddler a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being kind of inspired by some of the things that they had done.
For sure.
And I don't know if I heard something in particular or what, but I guess it was just that kind of the whole feel of it. And, you know, and that, again, that was like the competency thing of being able to, like, oh, you know, put a stop in here, put another stop in here that's slightly different, you know, and like brings it in another way, like pit stop, how we all stop at the beginning and then it goes from, you know, E to A, right? And the song changes right there and it's kind of unexpected and it's what makes the song work really well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love stuff like that as a listener, and I think, you know, I think there's also probably, you know, people who know more about this than I do, a certain psychology to it as well, right? It makes your brain, mm-hmm. like, think about the song a little bit more. It makes your brain work a little bit harder or takes it by surprise in a way that you remember the song better or you listen a little bit more intently, right?
Yeah, it might also give your mind a break for a second, you know, where you can kind of digest that last riff or digest that last bit, and you get to kind of restart, kind of, you know, kind of keeps the song fresh for the listener too.
And I remember, I don't know, reading somewhere or talking to somebody about how, you know, if all the songs are in the same key, like thinking about playing live, you know, like let's say all the songs are in the key of E, it's like the listener doesn't really know when to like start listening again and like, then stopping. So like whenever we're designing like a set list, we're always like, okay, that's an E, the next one's an A, this one's an G or something, you know? So it's switching around a little bit. So it's, you know, kind of stop and start. Although we do have our favorite keys that we write in.
The easy ones.
I sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't know what a key is. I heard people say it. And so like I use that word, you know, and I just keep imagining a key in my mind, an actual key.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do, guys. I said we were going to get through a couple of songs today, but we're running a little bit long on this episode. So let's do this. We will end here with this good discussion of the title track. And then tomorrow we'll come back and talk about three other songs. We'll get right into it. Blast through those three songs. All right.
Sounds great.
Great.
All right. Cool. Thanks for hanging out with me, guys. Everyone go to Apollo66.bandcamp.com and check out We Could Be Gone. They'll be back with us again tomorrow here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan, and we'll talk with Travis and Alex again tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
This time tomorrow, we can be gone. This time tomorrow.